Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up. It's Atari's Moon Patrol, the action-packed video game. Race your moon buggy over enormous craters. Blast attacking saucers. And zap moon rocks. But you'd better watch out. Play Moon Patrol. It's more fun than a barrel of Grotniks. You from Atari.
Oh my.
Grotniks? Is that what they said?
Grotniks? Scrotnik.
Scrotniks?
Yeah, Scrotnik. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro, a little show that me and Brian Dunaway host. I'm one of those hosts, Scott Johnson, and I often wonder, when man lives on the moon, will he feel the need to patrol the moon so that the moon is safe for all those who would like to be on the moon? Parallaxically speaking,
right.
I think the answer must be yes.
I would suppose if we're living on the moon. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And if you believe they put a man on the moon, then perhaps you would believe in 1982 that we inserted coins into a box to go six wheeling on the lunar surface for a little crevasse hopping action and parallax patrolling in our moon buggy to shoot up the mean streets of Sector 9 as Lunar City police officers. I read the full description of this game. Stop or I'll shoot. Just kidding. I only have two buttons and I'm all out of craters to jump. You did.
You are dead. The classic 1982 game, what was in arcades, called Moon Patrol. And I think, you know, we both use parallax in our intros, and I think it's we're going to touch
because
on.
Because it was super important. It was the first true parallaxing game that we had seen. And yeah. It was all side-scrolling, baby.
Yeah, it was as cool as anything I'd ever seen. The 2600 version of the game, not so much, but we'll get to that. It didn't parallax anything. Was more laxative than parallaxative. But anyway, we're going to talk all about Moon Patrol, and we'll get to that in a minute. Before we do, a couple of things up top here. Speaking of Moon Patrol, I started playing it on my Steam Deck. I'm playing the arcade version. And I forgot I was doing that.
Playing that in the MAME, are you? Or did you have it?
It was MAMED.
Somewhere else.
It was emulationed up. And arcade MAME. And I put the thing to the side. Thought I'd hit the button on top to kind of put the machine to sleep. I didn't. So I just sat there, paused on Moon Patrol, or I should say in the loop of the demo of Moon Patrol, because I had run out of lives and it just was doing the insert coin loop of like, here's some gameplay and then high scores and then here's some gameplay, that whole thing.
Right.
I didn't know that. Came back 10 hours later. My Steam Deck was still playing it with 2% battery life left.
Oh, wow. So and since it was just in demo mode, I don't guess you accrued any points then.
No, I did not. I accrued nothing, but here's what I learned. Yep. I learned two things. Number one, the device will not go to sleep with that inactivity when you're doing emulation. That's number one.
I didn't know that.
On
that's
its own.
Interesting.
Other games it will. If they sit there idle, it'll turn itself off, I believe. Now I'm trying to think of an example where I did, but maybe I can't. Anyway, there's that whole aspect to it. But the other part that impressed me was when I started playing, I had a full battery. 10 hours later of full screen activity and sound and everything.
Right.
10 hours later, it still had 2% left. That's pretty damn good.
I wonder how many CPU cycles were used for the demo of Moon Patrol in that emulation.
I would love to know. That would be great.
Yeah. I bet most of the battery usage is probably that screen.
I love that kind of data. Stupid data I don't really need.
Yeah.
Love it.
Give me the stupid data.
Give me more data. All right, Brian, you did some Moon Patrol stuff that I can't even compare to. So show people what you did. Do you have it there?
So, yes, I printed out this very cool Moon Patrol 3D print. I downloaded this off Thingiverse, and it is a little moon buggy. And it's got a little cannon on the top. It's got a cannon in front, and for some reason it has a little cannon at a 45-degree angle. I don't remember that part, but this is a really sweet print. I did this on the FDM printer, which is just that plastic spool printer, so I didn't do it in resin this time.
Yeah.
But it turned out really well. I was really impressed. And I even took it up to the moon, and it did just what
it did fine. Are you gonna paint that guy or just let him be white forever?
I was debating on that, but I mean, it's so I might reprint it again and just print it in a solid color, because the game itself is like this twitch purple.
Yeah.
There's like there's two colors. There's where you start mode, and then there's the championship modes. They're pretty solid colors with just little hints of colors on the wheels. I don't know if I'll bother painting it or not. Mm. It's just pretty cool just to have. I kind of want to make it where I can spin the wheels and stuff. I may look for some more Moon Patrol 3D prints, though.
Mm. Yeah, do that. Yeah. Why not? I think it's cool that every week since you've gotten that printer, I feel like you've done something with the retro print crap.
I have to. It's like, oh, I gotta justify this 3D printer that I bought. I've been doing a lot of character prints the last couple of weeks because my office to studio had kind of come to a standstill just because of situations and time and that kind of stuff. And so this week I've changed my streaming schedule. So I'm just going to be doing my streaming of retro games during the week, about the same amount of hours, but then I'm going to use the weekends to kind of just work on stuff, get stuff organized. And that's going to mean more stands for all my consoles. I've actually bought another display case. And I'm going to have a Sega section, a Nintendo section, and so on and so forth. So
you're going to be like a game. Fun. You're going to be a GameStop at some point, right?
I know better than a GameStop. I hope God. Oh, geez, man. Oh, the good news is it's supposed to be the Play Retro Preservation Society is kind of how I envision it. So,
right.
It's a little bit of it's my own things that people have donated. And I just want to keep them in working order. And so that people can, you know, we can have videos of playing this stuff on the real hardware and hopefully maybe one day like travel with some of this stuff, get some of those old Blockbuster cases. Remember the Blockbuster cases you carry around your NESs in and stuff, those hard cases?
Yeah.
I could probably put those in carry on for like a Vegas, right?
Sure. You could bring it.
You think they'd stop me for that?
No.
The big old Blockbuster case.
I mean, they would scan them, but I don't think they'd. Unless they see anything weird, I don't think they'd do anything. And even if they did, they might ask you, like, what are these for? And you could say, oh, these are, were you a kid? Do you remember Blockbuster and games came like this? Well, I'm a game guy and I'm doing stuff here with the games.
No, Grandpa.
No, I don't know what that is.
Now lean over and I'll apply some cream.
Yep. You need some cream? Ooh, check pre-show for that reference. Anyway, that's cool. I think it's rad that you're doing those. So please keep it up.
I'm so much fun with it.
Check this out.
Shall we play a game?
Here's a little audio from this game. First, I'll tell you the description of it. Moon Patrol is a 1982 arcade video game developed and released by IREM.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it IREM or IREM? I'm sure it's IREM.
I always say IREM, like it is an I think of it like eyeball and REM sleep. IREM. That's how I say
IREM.
It.
Oh, I like that. That's actually a good way to remember it. It wasn't, or it was licensed to Williams. Mm-hmm. For distribution in North America. That's how you all played it here. The player controls a moon buggy, which can jump over and shoot obstacles on a horizontally scrolling landscape, as well as shoot aerial attackers, because the moon is full of all kinds of dicks. And you gotta kill them.
Actually, that's part of the description. I was going back and reading. I never knew anything about the story on Moon Patrol. What do you really need to know? You're on the moon. You got a moon buggy six-wheeling it. And you're shooting shit.
You're patrolling.
What more do you need to know?
Yeah.
Right? You're actually patrolling. I didn't realize that was part of it. You're part of a lunar city patrol force. And this, for some reason, the moon is the hub of the universe's thug, is what they called them. They called them thugs. And I was like, okay, so I guess you just drive through town and shoot things?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's the ultimate revenge thriller against alien bugs that live on the moon. And it seems like the moon is teeming with them. Like, it's a problem. It's a real problem.
Oh, there's so many. And they're so angry at you, too. And
the roads are shit. Everything's bad. It's not a good place to be. But here's what it sounded like. And I think I may have pinpointed why I have such fond memories of this game in the arcade. And it isn't what I thought it was. So let me play this sound, and then we'll get back to it. Here you go. Now, what you can't see there is the visual. You can't see is you're almost like you got what do you call that when your car has a lot of buoyancy when it bounces? What am I thinking?
Oh, it does have a lot of buoyancy. If you actually watch, we got really deep into this past week. Thank you for the chat room from watching these streams this past week. They pointed so much stuff out to me. The wheels actually stay attached to the surface, which is like little hills and little bumps. And so the wheels actually spin, but they stay on the surface, and the actual vehicle seems to respond like some kind of shock or something. It is brilliant.
It's really good. Given the lack of like technology at the time to fool me into thinking you've got some real physics going on with those tires. Still impressive. Like, it still looks very really impressive. Cool.
And when you blow when you blow up, which you will, and
you'll always blow up. Yeah, that's the rule.
Yeah, your center mass explodes, but then the wheels just bounce off.
Yeah, boom, 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 boom. And as you can see in this video chat room, we've got beautiful parallax scrolling going on, which again is this technology that up to that point I had not seen in a game. I'm sure something predated it, but I don't know what it was. You know what it was.
There was some reference to some simplified parallaxing, but this was the first game recognized for its full parallaxing, where you've got a foreground with the ground you're actually driving on. You've got a mid ground, which is usually a mountainous or city area, and then you got a far off area that's usually like jagged rocks and that kind of stuff. All very colorful too. This is a real colorful game. Got this bright purple moon buggy, and just everything is just, it's just really just like, oh, attack on the senses. Love it.
Yeah, and it got harder as you went, and that's how they got your quarters or whatever. That was arcade games then. But I'm a huge fan of this game. It ate a lot of quarters for me during the era that it was I guess it was popular, but I don't think I played this till probably 85 is when I played it. So
I was in the same buggy. Yeah. I did not have this at our local arcade, or at least it did not grab my attention. I didn't play this until later, I think in emulation form. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it because it is, one of those early just shoot 'em ups. I mean, you're just, it's like an endless runner in some ways, because the buggy goes from left to right and you're just going constantly, and you can choose to slow down or speed up, but you can't come to a stop. So it is always somebody has got the gas floored. It's very engaging.
The entire thing hinges on the jump mechanic. Without it, this is about 1,000 times less of a video game. There's something about it, and really it's only there for big dips and holes or jumping over enemies, or if you missed one of the rocks and you need to jump over it or whatever. But I don't see Moon Patrol working without this high flying jumping little exercise that you do in the game.
Physics are really good. You wouldn't think it, but in a game from 1982 at the arcade, there's physics with gravity, and it's like you really do when you speed up. Your jumps are longer because the speed continues through the momentum. They just did some really smart things. And the developer was Takashi Nishiyama, I believe I'm saying that right. Maybe not. You may know him from Kung Fu Master from 1984, which is one of my favorite all-time games. And then went on to do the Street Fighter series and some other stuff in there. Also did some directing and producing as well.
Is he still rocking, still around doing
things? Let's see if he's still kicking it live. But he is a huge part. And this is, I think, Irem's first big hit in the arcades. And Williams was well enough to pick up that the publishing rights in the U.S. They made a lot of money on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, they did real well.
Pac-Man, oh my God, they were producing like 12,000 Pac-Man a day at some point in time.
Yeah, when Namco out. Was doing that, it was that must have been like all the money in the world to Namco.
Yeah,
when Pac-Man,
all the money.
Yeah,
all the money.
So this one,
I'm not seeing a death or expired date on Takashi Nishiyama.
Yeah. Maybe still so making games. I'm always curious when guys from way back then might still be making games now. That'd be a cool thing.
Because lots of times these guys were super young. They might have like only been like 18, 19 years old and, 82 or so. And so, easily can survive until then.
Well, I never answered the question, which is why do I think that I liked this more than I have any right to? Because, in some ways it's a very simple game. And we've mentioned some of the things that are cool about it, but it's really just scroll to the right. Jump over stuff, shoot at the right time. It plays a lot like, scramble if you're on the ground the whole time,
Yes.
So it's really just kind of a play on that. Yeah.
And this was something that it seemed like game developers were wanting to do. They wanted something that was a vehicle on the ground because we had, we're still using, we'd already done like a lot of Space Invaders where there was really no surface. We were just like out in space and that kind of stuff. So actually have something on the surface. By the way, the person right now playing Moon Patrol is jumping over the 3-minute mark, which is when they start adding in landmines, which your jumping becomes super important. And being able to jump between those things, it gets really hard.
That's right a point. That's basically the point in the game that if you're still playing there, you've opened a quarter account for this game and you're just paying it.
Another thing that people don't talk much about on this. This definitely known for being the first game to introduce the parallaxing, but according to Chasing Ghosts, the documentary, and I've seen this in several little places. I don't know if they're all quoting the same 2007 documentary. Beyond the Arcade, this game here, Moon Patrol, was one of the first games to allow continuations with score retention by putting another coin in. And that's what this game was all about.
Yeah, you didn't have to start over, which is nice.
You had to get to the next checkpoints, and you were trying to score as many points as possible. The checkpoints were kind of unique in themselves as well because they were marked by the alphabet every so often. On the ground, you would see like an A or a B, and then you have to go like the first five letters would be the first section, and there's like five sections total, and it kind of loops over and gets a little faster. More bad guys come along, your car changes to red from purple because you're in the championship mode. Yeah,
that's right. Now you're hardcore. Look at that.
Yeah, now you're hardcore.
That game is really good. There's nothing wrong with Moon Patrol. I'm a little surprised it never got proper sequels. I mean, we'll talk about ports and stuff here in a minute, but
I was curious about that because I was like, man, what would it really need? What would it have taken? But I guess because the developers who were working on this stuff had so many great ideas that they just moved on to the next thing. Because Kung Fu Master was absolutely a huge hit by itself. Mm-hmm. It just made sense, I suppose, just to move on.
Yeah. By the way, the other game released that year was Taito's Jungle King that had side-scrolling parallax, and that looked That looked okay. I still think this looks better.
It came out a couple of months later, I think, if I remember correctly, when I was reading this week, because I was like, "Oh, what? That was parallax scrolling too." Apparently, it was on everybody's heads. So, we've talked about this plenty of times. If you think you're the person who has the best idea in the world, you're the only person. No, someone's thinking about it right this second. They're already doing it.
Garen freaking Teed. Well, now let's look at a sad thing. All right, I'm gonna play you some sound. Anyway, you recognize the limited sound chip there. And if you're looking at the stream, you'll notice it's a pretty ugly.
It's an armadillo climbing or walking across the. It doesn't look like a moon buggy.
Nope,
that's for sure.
Nope, it looks like some kind of creature with legs, like a real weird turtle or something.
Yeah,
who's kind of hauling ass. The essence of it was there though, and it's fine. I played this at my friend's house. It was okay. Like a lot of Atari ports, you sort of just lived with it, and it was as good as you got, and you were willing to take it.
I mean, the ground was that Atari ground green. If you ever played Pitfall, you know exactly what green I'm talking about.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, There's parallax scrolling. There's X's that mark the checkpoints. It's a lot more action, though, than the arcade. It starts off right away with a lot more with characters. I don't think there was like I don't think there was a ramping difficulty. I don't think it had the resources to do that. Like at the arcade, it ramped up slowly and it got harder. The Atari was more like, okay, here you are, and this is how things are happening randomly, and it's going to get hard all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But I thought for an Atari 2600 port for arcade game, this had everything, pretty much that the arcade had.
Yeah. Well, plus not to mention the landmines you talked about being a later stage thing in the main game and the arcade game. They show up like a minute into this. Like, there they are.
And it actually used the difficulty switch too. Lots of games during that time, I would always like, I'm like, oh, I almost turned it on. I'm like, oh, I accidentally hit the difficulty switch. What does that do? And a lot of times it wouldn't do anything in lots of games. So this one actually lets you go like one player, two player, just like the arcade. You had one player, two player.
That's right.
Here you also had one player, two player, and you could go easy, I think medium, and then hard. And if you had on easy, you had like a little cute little bear icon. Mm-hmm. So I played on easy. I kept the bear icon up the whole time. This one is different than the arcade because the arcade, you had a two-directional stick with two buttons, one for jump and one for fire. Here, we have a single joystick with a single button, but it's four-directional. So you would use the fire button is the button, the red button. And then you get to push up to jump.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
So that's my memory of it. It's a little disruptive because when you're going, you're speeding up and slowing down, which is really important in this game because you've always got things over top of you and things that you're about to run into. And so it's real important to be able to time those things just right.
Yeah, it's an okay version given how bad those ports usually were. So
it was an amazing. I was blown away by being able to, I was like, oh, this is actually playable. I played,
it's not too bad.
Many not playable games in the Atari 2600, and this is okay.
But that's where they ended it. That happened in 83, so just a year later, and then no sequels. Like
none.
They didn't go, hey, here's a new, I don't know.
How about Mars Patrol?
Oh, you know, I mean, there is Mars Patrol, but that wasn't the same.
Is there Mars Patrol?
Wasn't there a Mars Patrol game? Wasn't there?
I don't know.
Hold on. I might be thinking of something too new.
Stuff up.
Mars Patrol game. Hold on. This is really ringing a bell.
There'd have to be. There's so many clones of this thing. I mean, I would not be surprised if they.
Oh, that's 100% what this is. There's a million of these, and they're all ripoffs of Moon Patrol, but they.
Right.
Let's see.
There's Mars Patrol Total War. Oh, that's a book, too. Oh, there's all kinds. That's probably the reason why it sounds familiar.
Mars Patrol on Newgrounds. Let's see. What does that look like? I had a video. Oh, no, this is. I thought they didn't do Flash games anymore. It's supposed to be HTML now.
I thought so, too.
Skip intro. New game.
How do you even play a Flash game? Where did you even Flash installed it?
That's a really good question. Okay. Oh, this isn't the same. Well, anyway. Yeah, there's a lot of those, and that's why I'd heard of it. But yeah, no proper sequels, no follow-ups, no arcade follow-ups in particular. And I think that's a little bit of a bummer, but also, hey, it was a great thing. Maybe leave it and just call it good and move on. Like
imagine
you said.
If you could go back in the other direction or something.
Yeah.
Or if there was some kind of, there's just so many possibilities because you got the most basic of games here. I mean, it's what shoot 'em ups basically eventually became, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, whether you turned it vertically or if you kept going right to left, I mean, that's basically what it was.
You know what I want, though? I want like a behind-the-car buggy game where I'm on the moon and I'm running around doing missions and I got to shoot shit and jump and all that stuff. You could do that in a big 3D game now and it would be super rad.
Yeah.
I would play that.
I would totally do that. You want to know what it looks like? You want to know what a 3D Moon Patrol looks like?
Give it to me.
Arcade's Greatest Hits, the Midway Collection 2 from 1997 for the PlayStation.
Oh, tell me more. Is it?
They actually did that. Digital Eclipse, you probably know them. They do a lot of retro stuff. Mm-hmm. They have their own little engine, and their whole idea, the whole idea behind the business is to make games be arcade perfect on more modern systems. So all the way in 97 from 1982, we get another look at Moon Patrol, this time on the PlayStation. And it's a whole collection of Midway games from the Joust 2 to the Root Beer Tapper, Splat, which I never played. Did you ever play Splat?
No, never did. I don't even know what that is. What the hell is Splat?
I don't either.
Okay.
Burger Time and Blaster. Whatever Splat is, it's really weird because when you start this collection up on the PlayStation, which is CD-based, it shows you these 3D, pre-rendered 3D videos And one of the things is you get to see Spy Hunter Car, you get to see Burger Time as a big burger man. And then you had this Corn who is throwing a burger, I guess he got from Burger Time, who was he throwing it at? I don't even know. It's
Why is the Corn tapper? Guy there? What's his deal?
He's from the game Splat. I did play a few minutes of Splat. It's a versus game where you play against another person. And you kind of throw pies at people and different food, I suppose.
This looks like ass. Oh my gosh. And
Harry's throwing the root beer.
There's the Moon Patrol guy. All right, here we go.
There's the Moon Patrol. It's in 3D, baby. And he's getting chased just in a second here by Joust in 3D as well. And I would play this.
I would would play this dumb game.
Yeah.
This is pre-rendered, and I use those terms lightly. pre-rendered 90s ass animation and stuff, but I assume the game when you would actually play Burger Time or Joust or Moon
all
Patrol.
Of us, they have the original ROMs right in there. It's exactly the same as it was at the arcade. They're using the Digital Eclipse engine to render these games, and I played a little bit of it. Actually, I played a lot of when I got to this point, I played it more through here because I also like to drop out. One of the great things about the Midway collection, these hits and stuff, the greatest hits they made during this time, they had like little bonus stuff. And they had Eugene Jarvis from, you remember Defender?
Yeah,
and,
no, he's he did. Jarvis is a freaking genius.
We just talked about him recently. Yeah. Had John Newcomer, who was Joust 2.
Yep.
There's all these interviews with those guys, and they do it through this trivia stuff. So they set you up with like these trivia questions, and you got to choose on the PlayStation controller, you know, which one you think it is out of three choices. And then you choose wrong and they may say something quippy. One of the developers may say something quippy. And then they'll give you the right answer with a little video clip of those guys. And it is charming. And I probably played that trivia game as much as the arcade
really?
Game. Yeah, just getting to know some stuff. Like,
did it feel
old
and outdated because they were trivia questions from a whole different era? And I don't know.
Actually, they were really difficult. They really dug deep. I learned some really deep things. They weren't stupid questions. They were really complex, nuanced questions that I think they must have had, you know, the interviews and then worked their way back. But it was pretty cool. That's to wild. Learn some of that stuff through watching the developer. It really felt interactive. It was a real interactive experience.
Well, it's an interactive medium. It's nice to feel interactive again.
And they nailed it. Well, they nailed it. Yeah. And, it is worth it just to watch the root beer tapper developers talk about
all that stuff. Did they talk about that? How they couldn't do beer?
They went to the back. Because, you know, root beer tapper got a start. Is Beer Tapper.
Yeah, in bars, it would be like a tabletop game in the bars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when they were workshopping this game, they pitched this to Budweiser, and Budweiser's like, do it. And so they went to the bars, and they're testing all this stuff, and you could just, the smiles on these developers' faces was just beautiful. You could just tell they were remembering just the best times of their lives.
Oh, must
be. It was so good.
Yeah. Dude, I love Beer Tapper, or I guess Root Beer Tapper is what I played, but.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it. Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I don't remember. I remember playing Beer Tapper, but maybe I only emulated it because I didn't ever play it with the actual tapper, the pull rod or whatever it is that's supposed to pour the beer.
Yeah.
So I must have only ever emulated it.
I think this is the start of my obsession with Chorecore games. I think starts with Beer Tapper because Beer Tapper is all about, all right, here's a bunch of new customers, take care of their beer needs. Whip, 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 fill, 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 send, grab, 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 empty, empty, like that. And then you're like, oh, okay, whew, I passed it. Okay, next level. That is basically what I do in my Chorecore games. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, and to me, I think you're right. I think this is the first Chorecore game I ever played, really, even though I did it through emulation. I think I must have played it on like a Genesis collection or maybe a PlayStation or something, I'm sure.
How about, so in 99, they released for the Game Boy Color arcade hits Moon Patrol and Spy Hunter. These are decent ports as well of the original. This says, right here says the screen does not seem or does seem a little tighter due to its size. Well, that makes sense, but not too bad. Yeah. Usually these ports are bad, but this is a good one.
Yeah. And this was not like the direct ROM. This was people recreating recreating the experience in a little different format. They did really good. I thought it was excellent. And my favorite part had to be with the fact that it is Moon Patrol and Spy Hunter. I'm assuming to fit it on the cart, they only have the ability to add so many musical instruments.
Yeah.
So the Moon Patrol song, which is there, is played in part by Spy Hunter instruments. You remember how Spy Hunter kind of sounded? Some of the, yeah. So some of the Moon Patrol stuff has that kind of bass strum kind of noise.
I got it right here. Let's see. Oh, whoops.
It's pretty cool.
Hold on. Let me back that up.
It does what it's supposed to do.
Oh, that's a guy talking. Dang it.
That's a guy talking. You got you in the video talking. With a guy talking, running his mouth.
Yeah, just yapping away like some kind of talking guy.
Talking. Nobody wants to hear you talk, you big turd.
We're doing Spy Hunter at some point, right?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to do Tapper and Spy Hunter. I've already added them to my list of
love
do these one day.
Spy Hunter is one of my favorite games.
Did you play Spy Hunter 2? Did you play that?
Yeah, I played everything, all of it, including that horrible rock game that The Rock was in. That was more recent.
Yes.
What was it called? Spy Hunter game with The Rock.
Fast and the Spy Hunter.
It was, let's see, where is it? Oh, Spy Hunter. Oh, yeah, there we go. Spy Hunter Nowhere to Run was the name of the game.
Nowhere to
Run. and it had the Rock in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like
really inspired
now.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
It really did.
It was a great game. There's nothing wrong with Spy Hunter, right?
In that Midway collection too, they had that talked a lot about the Spy Hunter as well, and they went down a bunch of stuff, and the developer talked about the car was designed. I don't want to give away the trivia question. Ah, why not? It's a Z28. It was one of the developers that just bought a 1983 Z28, and so they put that in there. So that's the reason why it's shaped like it is.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh, wait, whoa. Lara Croft is in this game. Or somebody like her.
Boy, yeah. This is when PlayStation was just throwing everything, right? They're just like, here you go.
Yeah.
Sony was just like,
do you need a busty British lady with a blue suit? I got her. She's right here. She can fight with The Rock, and we'll see how that goes. Boy, that looks worse than I remember it looking this game.
I know, but I was worse. When you first explained it, I was like, oh, that's not going to be retro enough. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like oh, that's retro enough.
It might be too retro. It's so ugly. Right. all right. So those are all cool. There is some stuff worth mentioning. Moon Buggy.
Right.
I never played this. Did you give this a look?
I gave it a look, and I loaded it up, and it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, this is what it would look like with a little flashier graphics in 1997. This was it was one of those, I don't remember those Windows CD collection of games. This game is so rarefied, you'll be lucky to find it. I found it on archive.org. It's Moon Buggy from 97, and it was a Windows CD collection. It's just kind of cute. I just liked how it looked. You know, the graphics are updated, and it feels like Moon Patrol.
I forgot about those things. Those collections had the weirdest, and they were all mostly ripoffs or send-ups. Like
most of it was just crap.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you find something cool. You're like, oh, this is cool. And this is one of those.
You know the one I really liked? I kind of remember this. I remember the time you could get it on DVD or disc, but eventually they just put it in Windows. I don't remember what version, but that old pinball game, the Windows pinball game.
Oh, God, that was so good.
So good.
That was so good.
We should do an episode where we say, here are the five old shitty Windows games that are good.
Right. They're actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
You didn't think you was going to get loaded up with some good game, but there's one or two.
There's another one called Jeep Commander. I did not play this one either. This is news to me, this one. I didn't know about this.
I tweeted you this today because this is just, it's just like what it sounds like. It's 1986 for the Commodore 64. It uses the SID chip, and it sounds fantastic. I love the music in this. This is such a
Let's
hot
play
jam
a bit of it. Let's see what
thing.
We got here. Listen to that bass. Whoops. Okay, wait. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, I was demo and then stop for a second. We'll start up again.
Listen to this. They got a lot of bass out of that chip.
Yeah, that's more badass than it ever deserves to be.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're riding in a Jeep. You're on the planet Earth shooting stuff.
But the same idea. There's big holes in the ground. You got to jump over them. You fire up, you fire forward. It was a clone.
Yeah.
And that's nothing wrong with that. You know what? I actually kind of appreciate clones. I think they're weird and I like them, you know?
I think clones are fine for me. As I get older, I'm like, man, I wish I had more of that. I would like to see more hot takes on a game mechanic that I like, because now we look back, we're like, oh wow, you know, this really didn't go anywhere. So, you know.
Yeah, games iterate all the time on top of other games. Like a game will come out, do a certain thing. Now tons of people want to do that with their games, like stealth mechanics. When those started happening, people went nuts with them. That Vampire Survivor game that took off like crazy last year on Steam provoked, I don't know how many hundreds of copycats. And there's a bunch of them that are really good. Like I think it's easy to look at that and go, do something original or whatever. But I actually think iteration's a really strong way to like further the art form and like make more games.
I think so too. Yeah. It doesn't hurt my feelings like it used to. I used to be a real snob. I'm like, stop trying to steal the thunder of the guy down under. I don't know. I didn't care for it.
The Australian developer who made Moon Patrol, he is the guy down under. Don't steal his thunder, you'd say.
Yeah. There was one thing I did I meant to mention in my pre-show, and I just noticed it in the notes. I did actually, I sent you the link that there's two movies that had Moon Patrol in them that I saw.
Oh.
One was the 1984 movie, The Karate Kid, had a Moon Patrol in there. But more featured was in a movie called Joysticks from 1983, the year before. And I never heard of it.
Oh,
but it was on,
I remember this movie.
It was on Tubi.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what is this? It's all about, I read a little synopsis real quick. It's like, oh, they're trying to save the arcade. Sweet. But it wasn't sweet. It was more like those ski patrol movies and that kind of stuff. You know,
if your brain says, oh, when they say joystick, what do they mean? You're right.
The whole intro song is a joke about play with my joystick, wiggle it left, it's all an innuendo, is what it is.
The whole thing. You know what I like about that, though? They just showed it. I didn't know Tron? Joe Don Baker's in this thing.
It is. Joe Don Baker is in this, believe it or not. He is the baddie. There's actually a couple of people that went on to some moderate success.
Sure.
And it wasn't bad as far as that goes, but man, was this just a TNA show. It was just like, how many times can we show some boobies?
Yep.
This many times. It was rough.
This has Jonathan.
I said through the whole thing.
Yeah. Jonathan Grise is in this, and he is. Do you know who that is? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
It's Uncle Rico. It's freaking Uncle Rico. Yeah,
that's right.
And he was in White Lotus season 2. You all know him. You just don't know. He's on Seinfeld, played a homeless guy in Seinfeld that stole a wheelchair, I think, or something.
Yeah. There's a couple of people in here that went on to do, moderate success.
Yeah.
No breakouts or anything, not bad.
Not bad at all. I really like John Grise a lot. So
I do too. He's hilarious in this. He's weird.
Oh, he's
but he's always weird. So,
old
now.
Jeez, look how old he is. I mean, I guess
happens to the best of us.
We're all aging.
Damn you, age.
Screw you, that's the age.
That's the video game I don't want to play.
It's joysticks. Age. Oh.
No.
Ooh, look getting at this old girl. She's got a little the 80s shorty shorts on. These are the kind of shorts that the girls wore when you and I were growing up. And we were like, oh.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah. In joysticks. Yeah.
In joysticks.
Yeah, it's Porky's, it's hot dogs, it's all that stupid shit.
It's all that stuff. You've seen those kind of things. It was definitely not good, and it was definitely just, it was, if you want to turn it on and go, God, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But it was fun seeing the cutscenes. Instead of having like a Star Wars wipe, it was a Pac-Man. I don't know how they got Pac-Man involved, but it was a Pac-Man.
She was using the Tron controller when they showed Pac-Man. That bugged me a little.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, that's like a Tron controller. So, and then they had like this one part where they made this huge, giant couple of joysticks that are just outrageous. There's things to be gleamed from this thing, I suppose. But boy, you have to... The price is high. The
price is high. You're going to pay. You're going to pay for that price. Real quick here, if you want to play this today, you can emulate it. You can get the arcade machine if you can find it. Good luck. It's like the A-Team. They're kind of hard to find. But if you can, you can hire them. Arcade Archive, Nintendo, PlayStation, etc. They've all got their collections or whatnot. And then the Williams and Atari collections, Optimal included as well. I would recommend that one from 97 is the one that I would look for if you can for the PlayStation, because I just think that goofiness around it is too good to miss.
It's too good. And it's funny because it's an Inception level, because I downloaded the CD to play in the PSX emulator on RetroArch, actually on my Mr. FPGA. Oh, nice. And then, of course, it's got another emulator running the software inside of that. So, but it ran perfect.
Now, here's the crazy thing. There's a weird game on Steam, which just launched. So I'm glad you added this.
Yes.
This is called Funtasia Furry Road.
I thought Scott might like that. I'm like, oh, Scott's going to like
it. I'm a fan. What I like about it is the physics are legit. It's also weird as shit.
Yeah.
Like, look at this barfing baby. This is actually a live stream of the developer that's going on right now. This puking baby trying to nail this your little ice cream truck, candy truck back there in the back. It looks weird. I think this art style is crazy. It's basically Moon Patrol with a ton of other shit added. It's really good.
Yeah, it's not like a big collecting type game, but it's more like that side, that side scrolling physics bouncing up and down, shooting crap from above and in front of you. I thought it looked pretty neat.
Yeah, reminds me of Hill. Do you remember Hill Climb on phones?
Oh, yeah.
Hill Climb 1 and 2, very similar to the way you have to control it. That's why I think I always liked that, because it reminded me of playing Moon Patrol, because Moon Patrol has that vibe of, if I'm not careful, this car is going to tip over, even though that game really is never going to tip over, but... It's a real weird one, and it's only $14, and it just came out. Let's see, I can read the date. It came out September 29th of last year, so it's relatively new. $14.99, and there is a demo for Mac or PC.
Do it. So what's your excuse? It's got a demo.
You got no excuse.
He killed the baby.
Oh, shoot.
Trigger warning. He killed the baby.
Oh, he did.
Destroy it.
The giant puking baby.
That's right. Now let's destroy our own baby by playing Guess My Game. And these are old games that we picked some old clips for. We're going to play them here and try to stump each other. We get three questions and three questions only before we make our final guess. If we don't get it, we get no points. If you get it, you get points, but the points get you nothing. All right?
The points get you nothing, friend.
Here's my clip. This is your early hints. 1993 Sega Genesis title. All right.
93 on the Sega Genesis. All right.
Genesis. All right. Here it is. Let me hit the play on this. Here we go. Where is it? There it is. Nope. Why is it not here? There it is.
Wow. I would have thought that was Super Nintendo. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good for Genesis sound. And I recorded this directly from the cart, or from the ROM.
Right.
Any guesses yet? Any questions? What are your questions?
Okay, so let's start with is it based on intellectual property?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's one, well, no, I'll just say that. Yes, you're absolutely right. It is.
Is it a Nickelodeon property?
No. I'll help you with that one by saying this way predates Nickelodeon.
Oh, interesting. Yes, 93, huh?
Yeah. The game doesn't, but the IP does.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
The IP does. I got you.
Yeah. Chat room so far not getting it.
You're not getting a chat room.
Lots of choplifters.
Always the choplifter.
Always with the choplifting. Any other guess? Here, you know what? If I play the intro again, it might...
Play the intro again.
Listen to this very carefully.
Wait, I know that. Wait. Is that like a...
That's where I cut it off.
Is that like a Looney Tunes kind of thing?
Oh, is that your third question?
Yes. Is it like a Looney Tunes thing?
Is it like one?
Is it a Looney Tunes thing?
No.
Is it a,
I'll answer the question twice in two different ways. No, it's not Looney Tunes.
Is it a Warner Brothers thing? How about that?
No.
It's kind of, okay. All right.
But when you said, is it like a Looney Tunes thing? That's closer to the yes.
Okay. So it's an old property, kind of like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're driving in some kind of cars or something, but you can't tell me now because they've already answered. You already answered my three questions. It doesn't. Wait! I just heard it. Wait a second. It's not Popeye.
No.
Not Popeye, because it's definitely not Popeye theme.
Popeye, not Popeye.
It's not the Flintstones, because that's not. It's not the Jets. No.
Someone
that sounds so familiar now. Wait a
someone
second.
Got the chat in the chat. Got it. Here, I'll play it one more time for you. Okay, right. That intro is really a big deal. Hold on.
It is. Wait, I know this.
And then it cuts.
Shit, what is it? I have it. It's like,
the reason that I cut it is so like, that you wouldn't get it. But
it's right there. It's in my head. I've heard this a million times. Oh my god, is it? Is it Woody Woodpecker?
No, the answer is not Woody Woodpecker. The answer is Tom and Jerry's Frantic Antics.
Oh, I know
Tom and Jerry.
Yes, I can see it now. I can hear it. Crap.
Yeah, but you can hear it. If you hear the whole song, you're going to give it away. So that's why I only did a little bit of it.
But that sounded much more like Woody Woodpecker, though.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. Who's the guy that did... Who did Woody Woodpecker? What was his name?
I know. Woody Woodpecker is
you said Tommy
Pecker. Tommy Peckerton.
Tommy Peckerton. No. Yep, it's the Peckertons.
Why is his name? Why would Williams? Is it? Why am I blanking on his name now?
I don't know. Gratz, by the way, two got in the chat. I'm trying to get the right
guy. Oh, somebody, Walter Lance. There you go.
Oh, Walter
Magic
Lance,
says
yeah.
Walter Lance. There you go. And some, yeah, it looks like a couple of people got it in the chat room there.
Sir John Card was the first to get it. Nicely done, Sir John Card.
Sir John Card.
You did it, man. All right.
That makes sense.
I'm going to play yours. What's the year and what's my platform? What do we got?
We're looking at 1992 is a SNES game on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay. All right. I think that's enough to start. Here we go.
Yeah.
Asian sound.
That's your question.
I mean, it's clearly Asian influence something.
Right.
Super Nintendo, you said, what year?
Super Nintendo. The North American release was 1992.
Okay, three questions. Is this a Nintendo IP?
No.
Third party? Okay.
Third party.
Is it a Disney IP?
No.
I only got one question left. Is it a platformer?
No. It is. Do we tell you what it is, though? Because, like, okay, so you asked what's a platformer, so I can answer that question. So it's like an action-adventure game.
Okay, action-adventure game.
Right.
I don't freaking know. I don't know what else to guess.
You ready?
I thought you were going to say it was Mulan, but that was years later.
Oh, much later.
Yeah, that's why I asked Disney. I give up. What is it?
It is The Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Oh, I've heard of that. Never played it, though.
Konami. I had not really heard of it until more recently. It's a Konami game. But it's a whole series. Gonbear Goemon or something like that. I don't know how to exactly pronounce it, but...
Gobear Goemon?
Gonbear? G-A-N-B-A-R-E. Yeah. But Legend of the Mystical Ninja is what we called it.
Yeah, it says here, I put it through ChatGPT to see what it would say. The Legend of the Mystical Ninja was developed by Konami, which you're absolutely right. It is an action-adventure game that was released for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in 1991. Mm-hmm. I think that was in Japan. The American version release was later.
Right, correct. 92 for us.
All right, well, it got it right. We're testing the AI to see if it knows things.
Very good. But yes, this is a very cutesy game. Someone had suggested that we do this series. There's three of them. And they made it onto the Wii virtual console and stuff, and all the way up to the 3DS.
Nice.
Which had a virtual console.
Who suggested this? Do you remember? Who told you?
I can't remember. It was suggested one night when we were streaming.
Well, then you're not going to get any credit today, whoever you are.
I'm sorry. You'll have to remind me later.
Brian's fault.
I'm sorry.
Okay, now this.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
So this is the Treasure Room. It's where we do emails.
Try this level now.
Oh, and sometimes it's phone calls, so we're going to try that level. All right.
Okay.
We got a question about 2009 versus today, and I'll let the listener explain. There's somebody named Sable, all right, sent this in, so check it out.
Hi, Scott and Brian. Do you think people who were 9 or 10 in 2009 and played Minecraft then look back on that in the same way some of us olders look back on the 2600 or certain arcade games? It just seems so different to me.
Okay. I can answer this directly. I'll bet you can, too, because we both have sons of a certain age.
Right.
And Nick was 8 or 9 when Minecraft happened.
Right.
And he is now 22.
Right.
Hold on. Is that right? Anyway, he was obsessed with that game. All he wanted to do was play Minecraft. And not only that, he wanted to get on mod sites all day and get viruses that I could never remove from his computer because he was trying to
download
mods. It was
all Java-based, man.
Yeah, it was a joke. But anyway, it was a huge deal. And there's a bunch of kids around his age that was their meat and potatoes for gaming. That's all they wanted to do. Right. So I can relate to this in the sense that if I ask him today, that feels like ancient history to him.
Right.
To me, it doesn't seem like that long ago, and Minecraft's still a growing concern, right? It's still a thing.
Exactly. That's what makes the question complicated is because like all the stuff that was on the Atari when we were kids, we were already on other consoles that really weren't carrying over many of these game properties, right?
Yeah. So when I was like 23, the games coming out were ones we just mentioned, like the Genesis game I played, whatever the hell I just called, Tom and Jerry's Frantic Antics. That was when I was Matt Nick's age. So that stuff would have been like hyper, fast speed, beautiful colors, side scrolling, parallax scrolling, whatever, you know, the hottest 16-bit possible thing. And if I went back to when I was 9, I mean, what was I playing? It would have been Space Invaders, which are shit. So
it's a good question, but it is very complicated because I think Zoe, who's probably the one closest to that, she goes back a lot and plays Minecraft. She'd be like, I hate Minecraft, never play it again. Yeah. And then, you know, like
then you go
a
back.
Year later, it's like, I play Minecraft. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. I guess what I'm saying is the 20-somethings, it's a higher curve and it's a little more leveled off because Minecraft's not that far into the tech distance.
Right.
But, and in some ways, it's still like hugely innovative in its own right.
Yeah.
But Space Invaders, the difference between Space Invaders and any 93 game, you know, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
Right.
They couldn't be more different. Like, it's so much more advanced.
Different gameplay. Jump.
Different world.
Different gameplay, different graphics, just totally different.
Space Invaders had one color, and it was black and white. Well, that's two, but they've had one color capable of showing on that black screen.
Right.
But
emotionally, I think everybody does that when they turn 20. Emotionally, you're going to look back and go, oh, and we all do this no matter what age we are. We all look back and go, oh, remember the simpler times.
Yeah.
There was no frustration with it. It was just, you know, it was just playing.
That is nostalgia in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And you have some of that. Listener about your 2600 and a 22-year-old has that about Minecraft and it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Someone's
going to have that about Fortnite. Somebody's going to have that about this weird Funtasia thing we looked at. Like one day this is classic, you know, classic gaming.
One day far too soon, Scott.
Far too soon. All right. Well, there's the end of that. Thank you, listeners. And
look at us. We both failed this week. Good job. But Chat Room didn't. Chat Room did get the, what was it? What was the game again? Tom and Jerry's
Frantic Panic or whatever it is. What did I call it?
Frantic Kitty Cat.
Frantic Antics. That's it.
There you go. Frantic
Antics. Frantic Kitty Cat versus Mouse.com. real quick here. The number he used to call that in, 801-471-0462. And if you want to send your messages into that, you can. You can do a voicemail, a text there if you'd prefer, or an email to playretroshow@gmail.com. Our next discussion is going to be River City Ransom, you guys.
Yes. Woo! River City Ransom on the NES and the Kunio Gun series, if I have any time to do it.
Well, we might be able to squeeze that in.
Yeah. But that was important to me because I've been kind of playing this from last year. We talked a little bit a few weeks ago about Renegade. Mitsuro, I'm not saying that right.
Yoshida,
who was the designer who did River City Ransom, passed away this last year. And ever since then, I've been trying to go, ooh, I need to go back and visit River City Ransom and kind of do a deep dive. He was only 61. Too young.
Yeah. Don't like the young dying. Don't do that.
No.
Yeah. Him, Lance Reddick, who else died recently too young? Just quit doing that. Quit dying young.
Yeah. Don't do that.
There's too many really old douchebags for the young, nice people to die. All right.
Yeah.
Too many older douchebags getting to live. What is that about? Only the good die young. I've heard it before.
Only the good die young. That song was so true.
I'm going to start being a huge dick so I can live longer.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. So what can I do? Can I start?
I think you have to balance it, don't you? I mean, like, you have to, like, you can't be too dickish because then someone will kill you, but you got to be dick enough that they don't want you in the afterlife, right?
Oh, it's like, I see. Oh, no, that's good.
Keep them there.
I like where your head's at with that. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll let you know how our new dick lifestyle goes. In the meantime, though, River City Ransom for the NES and more next week right here on Play Retro. Play Retro Show at gmail.com is our email address, like I said before, at Play Retro Show on Twitter. You can also send us those number or those texts or those voicemails at 801-471-0462. And a reminder to join us on Patreon at patreon.com/PlayRetro. You might say, why? And I would say, well, how do you like the idea of never having to deal with a single commercial ever?
Yes.
Or how would you feel about getting cool stuff digitally? Or how would you feel about just supporting your favorite show of all time? Aww. Well, now you can find out. Head on over to patreon.com/PlayRetro today and become a part of the larger Play Retro family.
Yes.
I think it's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with more. In the meantime, play something retro, and we'll see you then.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Sonic, software planning.
What?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.